It is interesting when you start thinking about your families, and a lot of us spend time, have spent maybe most of our adult lives trying to make a clean break and start over some things and break some bad things and start some new paths. And that happens within Christianity. You know, you grow up in a house that didn't love Jesus, and now you're kind of trailblazing a new path, but you still carry DNA and you still carry like history, and you're not totally destined or stuck by wherever you came from, but it influences you. And we know you can invite Jesus in to redirect and repair and heal, but there's something to it. And what's to it is the image of God. Like, God has created us so that we create little babies and we pass on our DNA coding and our facial features. And you know, like, if you look back and see pictures, I don't know, your great-great-grandpa or grandmother probably looks just like you. You know, like, you go back and you're like, oh, that looks like me. Because there's just a passing on of things. And then there's the nature, nurture. There's the things that we do. And I think it was in Freakonomics, the book. Did you ever read Freakonomics where it said, like, if you have books on a shelf in your house, if you just have books on a shelf, you don't even read them. Like, it's some ridiculously high number, like, I want to say like 70% or 80% of kids who just grow up in a house with books, not even opening them, do way better on testing and become way better readers. Like, that doesn't even make sense, but they said it, so I believe it. And they used all their science stuff to do it. That's their job, not mine. But I like the idea of that, because just being around books makes you have a relationship with books. And so you start to think about the homes that we grow up in, and just being around, having books, with just having faith, going to church, doing these things, it has more power than you think. And so Jesus knows this, and so as we're looking through the Beatitudes, he's saying to his disciples, those of you who are listening and want to be in my family, here's who you're going to be. You're going to be blessed, although actually, here, look at page 677. If you're using one of these Bibles, it's Matthew chapter 5. I just want to reorient us to kind of the family values, that if you are going to follow Christ, you're coming into a family, you're marrying a family, and here's what's important to our family. And here's who we all end up aspiring to look like. Page 677, Matthew chapter 5, we'll do verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And then today we are at, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. That's kind of why we're starting with family. We're starting with the blessing, right? The other ones, it's, well, all of these Beatitudes are saying, you will be saved and you will be comforted, but recognize that you're poor, recognize that you're sad, recognize that things aren't as they're supposed to be, and I will comfort you and I will feed you. But you got to believe that. And so today's is, you are the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. That's the old version, the children of God, the boys and girls of God. So do we have to be peacemakers to become children? Drink of coffee? I don't know. Did you have to, when you inherited things from your parents, did you do anything for that? No. The children of God are going to be peacemakers. You just are. This is who you are. And so, if you are desiring to follow Jesus, recognize this is who you're becoming. You're becoming a peacemaker. So now we're trying to figure out, what is a peacemaker? Because I know what you're thinking, like I was thinking at first. It's someone who's always like, stop fighting, you guys! Stop fighting on the donuts! What's your solution? Nobody has donuts! Well, that's not peace. That's stupid. Kill it. That's funny. another copy. You know, like, what does it mean to be a peacemaker? And so you start thinking about, what does it mean? And it took me a second. Like, if you close your eyes and I say there's peacekeepers in the city, what do you imagine? What does a peacekeeper look like? What's that?
Police officer.
A sheriff. People with those big, like,
riot
control. Right, yeah. And they're there to keep the peace. And I was like, whoa, when you think about peace, it's always a confrontation. But there's someone in authority that's saying, we're going to keep you all from going crazy. There's a person with the power and the authority to say, we're going to keep the peace. And usually we're going to keep the peace with, like, with a peace on our waist. Just to say, hey, I don't have to use this. I'm just showing you guys I'm cool with gun lingo. I have a gun. There's got to be phrases about a peace and a peace. I don't know. Yeah, there is. But isn't that interesting? The peacemakers are the ones with the authority to say, here's how it's going to go. And so there's confrontation involved in peace. But when we use it, we're usually referring to the person who doesn't want to confront anybody, and we call them a peacemaker because they're not willing or strong enough to fight. But they're not peacemakers. They're just cowards. But we're like, I'll be a peacemaker. I don't want to get into it. Do whatever you want. That's not peacemaking. That's just, you have your own issues. You actually don't have peace within yourself. And that's okay. Jesus can still save you. Peacemaking is confrontational. And what you realize, too, is in the family, we'll get into, I'll tie that in, what I just said. You start thinking about family. And I know your families are the same as mine. Family is the first place where you can be the most confrontational. You know what I mean? Like, I can get into a confrontation in my own house very quickly. I would obsess over it. I would cry. I'd be so upset. What if I have to confront one of you, that's way more thought. Like, I have to think it through. I got to... But with someone in my home, I can be like, hey, don't touch that. What are you doing? Why are you wearing your shoes in the house? What? We're not air conditioning the neighborhood, right? That's a confrontation. And so in the family, so if you're going to be in the family of Jesus, here's how we act in the family. If you're going to be a peacemaker, you realize the peace that Jesus is talking about is not militarily, not military peace, because as he's speaking, there's Roman guards. So the people are like, how are we going to overthrow these jerks and get them out of our city, Jerusalem? And Jesus is like, you're going to be peacemakers. Cool. No, not that way. We're going to be peacemakers, peace with God. That you're going to be the kind of people who have peace with God because he's the authority. And so that means there's going to be a confrontation with God. But you can come out of that confrontation with peace, being taken care of. But real peace, because all peace has to have some confrontation. Somebody has to give up. Somebody has to die. Some country has to say, we give up, we're not going to fight anymore. You might take us over now. Someone has to give up. And here's how it breaks down for us. Before I get into all this, let me confuse us. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Because if you're in the family, one of the tell signs you are officially in the family, if you've married into a family, is the beauty of thinking you know what's going on and then being confused by everyone's reactions or overreactions and like it makes no sense. And so it's like that in the body of Christ. You just heard you are called to be peacemakers. And Jesus tells his disciples, go out and be peacemakers. And here's how the disciples are going to do it. They're going to announce that Jesus Christ is Lord, that God is the creator of the universe, and he has come to us now, and there's peace. So it's more like your peace announcers. And that's what the disciples do. But then Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. It's page 682. And Jesus says, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have written, or I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Whoa. So that should be kind of confusing to you, right? You are the peacemakers. You're the sons of God. You're going to be like me. Oh, and my son, my actual son who came to earth, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, comes to earth, and then he tells his disciples, go out and show who's boss, heal people. Say, there's not supposed to be diseases. There's not supposed to be blindness. There's not supposed to be leprosy. There's not supposed to be death. And show miracles. Show the authority of Christ on earth. And then invite everyone to be made right with God. Yes! And then Jesus says, but don't think I came to bring peace to the earth. What? And what he's saying is, when you announce peace, there's two reactions. You submit to the one who has the power to say, I'm going to keep the peace. You submit to the police officer, or you run. And there will be people who run. And they will not find peace. They will not have peace with God, and therefore they will not want the peace that you have. So do not expect the kind of peace that we like to work out here. The peace that Jesus is bringing is right here. Peace between you and God. Because it's really necessary, actually. There's two types of kids in the family. And really, we have these distinctions in our own lives. There's the secure sinner and the despairing sinner. Okay, the secure sinner is a person, or it's you and me, and you have to think about areas in your life where you have this. We have areas where we are secure sinners. And what that means is, I've heard what God says, and I just disagree. I've seen what your word says. Jesus Christ has made it very clear. He's made several things very clear. It's not up. He didn't ask you what you think of it. Is it reasonable in your cultural context? I need you to figure it out. He just says, like, you know, get married. He says things like that. He says things. God says things very clearly. Oh, right here, yeah. Hey, guys.
Hi.
No, we're happy you're here. We're right at the harsh part. So in the family, we're breaking it down. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be the sons of God. We have parts of us that are secure sinners, and what that means is you're very secure in your sin. And I have to admit, like when it says don't love your mom, and that Jesus says I didn't come to bring peace, if you love your mom and your dad more than me, you lose me. He's referring to the old prophets, he's referring to when they said peace, peace, and there is no peace. And when we overlook in the family, if I overlook the sins and I don't address them, I'm not truly loving. You know, if there's a giant hole up the road that's going to destroy your car, and I'm like, well, let's use Irma. Irma's coming, and I just say, I don't want to tell you, I don't want to scare you, I don't want to tell you it's coming, we'll just, it's your life. Is that loving? No. And if I say, oh, everything's going to be fine, you'll make it through the storm, it's going to be great, is that loving? No. There's a time when you need to hear the law. Heavy winds, you could be hurt. Do something. And for me personally, it's hard, because I love y'all, but I failed sometimes when you are secure in your sin. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I mean, when the truth is, if I really love you, it's hard. I have to say, I love you, but that's wrong. What you're doing is wrong, and there's a storm coming. God's not happy with you right now. See, when you're a secure sinner and you feel like you can justify yourself, and someone gives you the gospel, it's not helpful. When you're not listening to God and they're like, oh, God loves you and you're great, that's not helpful. That's actually harmful. I have a great story. Friday, Grace wakes up. Don't worry, Grace, it's fun. It's a safe place. And we're having a good morning. Everything's fine. I'm working. She's starting to, well, I won't even tell that part of the story yet. She comes down and she says, did you eat all the grapes? And I'm being interrupted. And I said, and I ran it through my adult brain, which after years of training in marriage, I've learned now just recently, the grapes are for lunches. The fruit, because you know, there's a delicate balance with fruit. You got to eat it, because if you don't eat all the fruit, it's like, why do we buy fruit? No one eats it. But if you eat it all, there's no fruit for lunch. And so you got to like be an adult about that. I've been an adult about that. It's Friday morning. There's enough grapes for her. But I had grapes with breakfast, trying to be healthy. You know, little Lucky Charms and grapes to balance it out. Tons of coffee with tons of creamer. Grace comes down. She goes, there's no grapes? And I said, very defensively, there's enough grapes for your lunch. And then she went about and started to do things. And I said, there's enough grapes for your lunch, right? She said nothing. Yes or no, are there grapes for your lunch? She says nothing. She's doing this. Right. All I see is the back of her head. And guess what I did? I totally freaked out, man. I got up, I went to the fridge, I grabbed the grapes, I go, there's enough grapes for your lunch! I threw them, made this huge noise, and Haley's upstairs like, what's going on? I threw the grapes on the counter. And then she's still silent, and I'm like, all I need you to say is yes or no. And then I like got into character, and I was like, yes or no, yes or no. And I was freaking out. I'm so mad. She's crying, and I'm like, don't cry. Don't cry. No, this is it. Don't act like you've never been there over lesser things. I'm talking about grapes. Right. When we ignore God, I don't have much to say. I know. He's nicer than me. He's more patient. Don't be secure in ignoring God for very long. I can't. Oh, it's okay. It's not okay. So, when you're ignoring God, when I'm ignoring God, the area where we have ignored God, we need to look at. This is where we get peace. Peace comes through the confrontation. And when we're ignoring Him, or we're like, I know better, that's the place where peace has the opportunity to come from, because you're in the family now. It's that area then where if you have the opportunity and you have to be confronted with the law, which says, you better answer it. Which says, I don't care if you will fully understand what I'm saying right now. And here's the rest of the story. The rest of the story is, we drove to school. I apologized for freaking out. She's trying to figure out why she didn't answer, and of course she didn't answer because she was trying to give a real answer and do all these things. And I said to her, in the future, you don't need to honestly connect to what you're feeling and what's going on. I have that problem. You just need to say yes or no when the crazy dad says, say yes or no. Oh, okay. And then it works out because she was sad. She wasn't trying to mess with me or disrespect me. And what we call that is a despairing sinner. See, there's two things. There's a secure sinner that gets the law, and then there's a despairing sinner. And you know what the despairing sinner gets? The gospel. The one who recognizes they've done wrong, they get, God loves you. We assure you of His faith. He's with you. He's for you. He forgives you. And where we need to be as peacemakers is we need to figure out where we're secure in our sin and become a little despairing. And go, oh God, have mercy on me. And He's like, I love that. And even if you continue to sin here, He like at least wants you to challenge with it. At least still believe Him and go, I'm trying to stop, I'm not. And He's like, I can help you, those of you who are despairing and at least working towards having peace with me. But if you just get hardened and you say, well, I don't understand what God says, that's stupid. There's no peace. And then, brothers and sisters, we can't say, oh, it's cool. and truly love you. If we truly love you, like in the family, we say, hey man, you're eating all the grapes. Not cool. See, this is my issue here is it's hard to figure out the relationship to saying, here's what's right and wrong, and showing all the gospel. And it's easy in churches just to go, okay, we'll say law from up here and hope it sticks, but personally, we don't care for each other in this way. Or when we do care for each other, we say, oh, that's right. Everyone gets upset and leaves. But I'm just telling you, it's part of the body of Christ. It doesn't matter where you go. God's word is his word. And if people love you, like I love my kids, sooner or later I say, that's not good for you. No one loves me. Okay. Wrong response. Say, I'm sorry. I really like Lucky Charms. I want to eat them forever. God help me. Well, we need to get you to be more healthy. See, that's love. And then you get forgiveness. And then you get peace. Look at, you know, I came up with this great phrase, and if we were somewhere else, it would work so well. We don't want to be peace fakers. We want to be peacemakers. And peace fakers are like, oh, I think I can have peace with God and make peace with others, but do whatever I want and act as if God has nothing to say. And what we keep saying is it's a relationship. You ignore me, I'm not God. But after a while, it's like, all right, you're not getting any of my inheritance. You're not getting my funny jokes at a party. Yeah, that'll burn. Let's see what you have to talk about. Yeah, I'm a professional conversationalist. It's learning to talk. Go to John 14. John chapter 14, when Jesus is... page 752. These are good words that he's saying to his disciples who are hearing him say that he's going to die. That Jesus is making peace between us and God for us. He's dying. Remember, Jesus wasn't like, oh, what a great plan, I'll die. He's crying. He's saying, God, is there any other way? But he's obedient. He says, not my will, but thy will be done. Like, this is the cost of peace. It's total obedience. And this is why he's our prophet, he's our priest, and he's our king. Because he's never been swayed away. He's never sold us out for his own protection. He's done it. And that's why we look to Christ for salvation. And that's why we can be despairing sinners and like, oh God, help. And safe and loved and nurtured because he's not holding it against us. But, he says, but if you're holding on to it, I can't promise you grace and all this stuff if you're going to be so adamant that this little thing is worth more. And so Jesus says, John 14, verse 27. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. This is where real peace comes from. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, says, I'm going to secure peace between humans and God, and I give it to you. Don't be anxious. Don't be troubled. And then what we find out is, things are going to go up and down in our lives. But we have the peace that passes all understanding because Christ has secured it for us so that whether things are good, we can have peace. Whether things are bad, we can have peace. We're not dependent on the circumstances. Paul also says, try to be at peace with everyone as much as it is possible, because I can't force people to be at peace. So how am I going to have peace? I have to be connected to God. And Jesus says, I give you my peace. Peace with God. And then as we have peace with God, we start to look like the family. We start to look like Jesus. We can overlook things. We don't have to have vengeance. We don't have to get revenge on people when they've hurt us. We can forgive, and we can bless, and we can heal with nothing in return because Jesus says, I give you my peace. Not like the world. So don't look to the world for peace. You're the peacemakers. You're the ones who announce it and bring it. You know, during Irma, do you remember? I don't know. I think I went to bed around 2. I tried. Do you remember the height of the storm? If you were lucky enough to lay in a bed, Val was grabbing my hand so hard that I had to tell her to let go because she was like smashing the ring into my delicate hands. And I was like, oh. And it's dark, and you're just imagining, like, you can just hear trees going whoosh, 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 and you're like, and I was kind of, you have to make a decision. I'm going to stay up all night and just watch this thing, or I don't know what I'm going to do. And so I'm telling my wife, it's okay, it's all right, we'll be fine. We've done everything we can. We've boarded up everything. We're hidden. We're in the safest part of the house. It's like, all right, now it's just relax. We can't. It's funny, in that moment I was like, all right, Lord, I'm supposed to know you. What? I don't even know what to think right now. Just protect our house, protect everybody, protect everybody. And then the thought came to my mind, Jesus sleeping at the bottom of a boat during a storm. I was like, oh, thanks, Lord. But then I asked the same question because I was in an actual storm and I said, Jesus, how are you sleeping? How are you sleeping during this storm? And he's like, well, because I have power over all of it. Okay, so what should I do? He's like, just lay down next to me. He's like, all right. So I just thought about that. Somehow I fell asleep, leaving my wife awake. I'm not perfect yet. This is the peace that we have. In the midst of the storm, I couldn't control the storm. There was damage. There's things that happened. There's insurance that has to be called. But God protected us. And we can find peace in the storms because Jesus gives us peace. And we submit to him. And the way we submit to him is, I had these questions. But Lord, I don't know enough. I don't know enough to have this kind of peace or to not hide sin. And he says, I do. Okay. Lord, I haven't done enough right. I have. But I've rebelled against you too much. And he goes, I know, I forgive you. How can you forgive me? Because I died for you. I paid the price, and now my life is yours. Why? Because I love you. So the areas where we have been hardened, this is what I hope today. Lord, reveal to us where we've been fighting with you. Start to just show us the truth. Where we can, don't have to understand everything. We don't have to understand why or how. We just have to say, Lord, I trust you. And become a despairing sinner and receive the gospel. He loves you. He's done enough for you. Receive peace. Because this is the peace. This is the place where the abundant life is located. It all starts, peace with God. And it's inside out. Then we become the light to the world. Then we become the salt of the earth because we have something to bring. The presence of God, being right with God. So blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the sons of God. You're all in the family now. I love you. I don't have to tell you what you've done. But I asked the Lord what, because he's really gracious. And then I can announce the gospel. Thank you, Lord, that we are in the family by the work of Jesus Christ. We're not trusting in ourselves. We're not trusting in our faith. We're trusting in the work of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. And we make ourselves available now during this time. Bring to mind, where are some areas that we've just ignored you, or we're just trying to be clever? Would you give us the freedom and the peace of just going, oh, I trust you, Lord. Where we can let go, our little hands can let go of holding on to something we want so bad, but we don't believe you'll help us get it, that we can let go and turn to you. And that, God, you promised to give us the peace of Jesus Christ, the peace that passes all understanding. We give to you our desire to be successful. We trust you. We give to you our fear of being rejected. We trust that we're not rejected. We give to you our fear of failure, our fear of death, the lies. We give to you, Father, and we ask that you would clothe us with your word and with your faith and with the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. Daddy, forgive us and take care of us. We come before you boldly in the name of Jesus. Amen.